it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bears are back, baby.
Bear down, baby.
Yeah, we're here. I mean, we've been here for months. Yeah, went through camp, preseason, so it's here now. Leave it out on the field come Monday.
It's still fun to get out there, have a little bit of jitters, get the bugs out. I mean, it's going to be fun regardless, and it's Monday night, so it's even going to be a bigger deal.
I think I'm JJ McCarthy, kid from Grange Park, Illinois, that's just trying to be the best he can possibly be every day.
At the end of the day, they're going to make it easy for him, so it's just really about what we do, not about what they do, so we got to go out there, play these calls fast, give them different looks, give them different disguises, and make him, you know, win the game through the air pretty much.
On the one hand, you've got Caleb, who's played against this Minnesota defense. He had some success last year against them, and so he has that to build on, but then he'll be doing it within a framework of a different offense, one that I think should be more quarterback friendly.
What do we need from Caleb? Your number one job is to protect yourself. That's your number one job. You can blame the fifth round pick tackle if you want, right? You can do that. But like I always live by this: who much is given, much is expected. Much is expected. Much is expected.
Obviously, play the game right here. Fourth and three, game on the line. Williams lofting one for a dude.
I got the utmost confidence in Ben and his coaching ability, his play calling.
Touchdown! And Ben Johnson loving every second of it. You know, when they run these plays, they work.
That's what keeps me up at night, is trying to make sure that all of our horses are fed.
Caught for a touchdown by Odunze. DJ Moore weaving up the sideline. Moore inside the 10. Steps through contact. He's in for a Chicago touchdown. Evan, tight end, Loveland again.
No block. Here we go.
I think it comes down to being able to execute exactly what he puts out there for us as a team, as an offense.
I feel really good about where he's at right now.
Hope is alive in Chicago.
Anybody can get it, man. We ready. We're going to be coming, and I'm not afraid to say it.
There's no reason why we can't win this year.
Bear down, baby.
The Bears.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Damn it, it's football season. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We got some stuff to get done today. Alex is here. He had a wonderful weekend of just lying on the couch. No one's weekend compares to what Chris Tannehill was out here doing this past weekend.
Mr. Vegas.
No, sorry, Speaks. That's not the name. I'm actually the Clark County Commissioner, so please refer to me as that.
I like it. He was at Stadium Swim with our friends at Circa and our friends at Circa. Uh-huh. Pretty awesome weekend. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. Game on.
Game on.
Football season, and it still feels summery out there.
It's
but
so gorgeous outside.
It's so right perfect, now. Man. And tonight it's going to be crisp like the beginning of fall should be, as it was this morning. And Tanny's Open got me going, and he did give us the drum fill payoff.
Yeah, you didn't want that for some reason.
I just thought it'd be hilarious if he just gave us musical blue.
If
he just didn't pay it off, and we all just sat around going, all right, it should be a nice big drum fill here, a nice big drum break. But no, man, game on. And all this football that we've had since Thursday night and Friday night and all day yesterday and then last night, deep into the night, has all served as multiple courses before the dessert of tonight. Now we'll see if this thing feels like dessert tonight or not.
Yeah, it's fun to be in a space where you can consume everything that's gone on this past weekend, like we've done. Like, even going all the way back to Thursday, and it's what we were talking about, how you get the opener, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
Then you get the Friday night game, where you're like, oh, look at that.
Look at Justin Herbert be awesome, and them throw the ball. After running it so much last year, they know that he can throw it, and here's Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh going out and throwing it like crazy in the first half.
As you're watching Keenan Allen go out there and make some plays Friday night.
I know, and you're deciding, should I pick up Keenan Allen or Quentin Johnston for my fantasy team? I took Johnston.
Then Saturday, the Illini just rolling over Duke.
And then a top 10 placement for them in the new poll that came
out. As they should be. And this is Bears related. I don't know if you noticed this. I threw it out there on Instagram on Saturday.
I have some Cubs thoughts that are also Bears related.
Wednesday at 5:55. Now listen.
Let's talk about the White Sox. They would have been team of the moment if there was hit and run yesterday.
Thursday at 6. All right. So,
but they're Bears related, Lawrence.
No, they're not. They're really not. So the Illini game, there was this crazy convergence of a moment, Speeds.
Okay.
And I know that you like this type of stuff. There's a play.
Damn it, he knows me. He's going to make me like it. Sucks.
Speaks. There's a play.
Yeah.
It's a peanut punch.
There was a bunch of those around the league.
Hold on.
As well as the NFL and college. Tell me, there's a peanut punch.
The color commentator was Dusty Dvorak, who pointed out that it was a peanut punch. And then, who's falling on the ball?
Kreutz.
Yes. In that one, 10 seconds, you've got just Bears stuff in the Illini game. It was glorious.
That is tremendous.
And that team's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Brett Bielema's team's really bleeping good.
It's fun to have a local that matters. And then I'm telling you, yesterday, and yes, I was at Wrigley doing pre-post in the fifth, had a crazy fifth inning, a crazy day.
I was watching football.
Guess what? So was I.
Were you?
Trust tree, right?
Oh, Speaks, don't blow up your spot.
No, I'm not going to.
Don't blow up your spot.
I believe I saw a photo of this. Didn't we all?
Nick Heppner, the fine engineer, who was sitting with me in the back row, just on his own volition, he put on the Steelers and the Jets on his laptop to the right and out of view. So every once in a while, I would look over and peek, as well as having had lunch in the Wrigley lunchroom before pregame began at 12:45 with that game on the TV. So yeah, that Steelers Jets thing, I said it in transition, Lawrence, it felt like a Bears game because you're rooting for Justin, and then when the other team gets the ball, you're rooting against Aaron Rodgers. And so you're emotionally invested. At least I was, and I talked to a lot of people who were.
Rodgers is kind of an ass, right? I don't know.
Steve Sharippa was invested. But right, you're like...
He gave us so many drops.
You're invested on both sides of the ball watching that thing. And Justin looked pretty good, and we can talk about that. But Rodgers, I had this terrible realization, at least to me anyway, that Rodgers and the Steelers are going to have a very, very good year.
I don't want to jump to any... conclusions from week one. It was a really compelling game.
My problem, though, Lawrence, is that I'm envisioning a lot of articles about Aaron Rodgers' greatness and the McAfee appearances that he can gloat during it. And he's good. He's always been great.
He's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time.
And he still might be. And so I got to think of, is there a word for admiration mixed with disgust? You know what I mean? Like a hate plement, like a hate compliment, or a begrudge praise, or grumble applause, like applause with a grumble. There should be a word.
There's got to be a word, like a Schadenfreude type of word.
Yes.
that they're probably in another language.
That's what I'm saying.
Like someone who speaks multiple languages can probably help. Is that what is that? Polyglot, yes.
Maybe. But yeah,
can help us out with that.
Like begrudging compliments. There's got to be one word for that because I'm going to have to give some to Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to have to give some credit to that man who I continue to dislike. And I feel like it's going to be one of those seasons for him because he was really good yesterday.
He played great yesterday. Justin played great yesterday. That was a fun football game to watch.
Happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
That question, the way that question was asked was a perfect setup for him, too, because they were like, yeah, well, how do you feel?
You spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago. Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
Bag.
I feel him on that, though.
I know you do.
I feel him on that.
I know.
And then there's a couple other things that you're watching around from around the league. But watching that Lions-Packers game yesterday was interesting, too. Because there are a lot of Bears fans over the past week be like, oh, they have themselves a broken pass rusher. And then Micah Parsons was like, no, they don't. Watch this. And he went out there yesterday, and on the amount of, he only played 29 snaps. Is that right? 29 snaps. And he's out there with three pressures. And he ran Jared Goff down yesterday like it was his job.
To finish that game.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. It must have felt like time had just sped up on Jared Goff, because there he was kind of like outside the pocket, like, all right, I'm going to probably make it to the sideline. No, you're not going to make it to the sideline, because that man was trucking to come and get that sack, and he got him.
Yeah, they're going to be scary, that defense. Rashawn Gary was talking about it. Like, once they learn what each other does and what each other likes to do, how scary it's going to get. Did you feel like it was more the Packers defense being excellent or the Lions being a mess in their first game under new offensive coordinator John Morton?
I think that they're going to be fine. I do think that there is some newness in it, like the idea of how does this guy call a game? They looked more safe than I've seen them look in a while.
And that was the vibe of all their fans. Bill Zimmerman collected a bunch of the tweets of Lions fans.
A lot of checkdowns. A
lot of checkdowns. Call something else conservative. What are we doing with another checkdown? But maybe those were Goff choices.
It very, very well could have been Goff choices. But
they also didn't run the ball as well as they usually do.
So I'm looking forward to, you know, them looking at it and then trying to figure it out and seeing Micah Parsons like kind of give a little dip to Penei Sewell. Like, and that was like you two of the most athletic guys in the NFL going head up with each other, and Parsons winning that particular rep was amazing watching those guys. But yeah, it's I do think it's a function more of Halfley's defense and some of the things that they can do, but it bears watching.
I think the Lions are going to be greatly affected by the loss of coaching that they have, and offensively going to be affected, and we'll see if there's a recovery time. But that was principally, as a Bears viewer, what I took away from that was like, man, give me Ben Johnson and let's see what it can look like, because here we go, game on. There's a lot of Ben Johnson conversation we'll have today. Brad Biggs wrote a great piece today about how Ben's tenure as a tight ends coach really defined the way that he thinks about offense. And you and I have talked before about the importance of the tight ends coach.
One of our guests brought that up. Maybe it was Carmen? Yeah, Carmen talking about when you were out and Carmen was hosting for you, and she was talking about how him being a tight ends coach is so important because he actually is an offensive guy that understands the O-line concepts, and he's not just kind of out here faking it.
No, he knows how important the run game is and how important the line concepts are, and you fit the tight ends into it. And that's why they got Loveland, is because he knows he needs a tight end exactly like that, along with a tight end like Kmet, in order to run his offense. And that's the part that I'm so excited about, is like an X's and O's wizard who knows how important the run game is and knows that everybody's going to eat. If you run the game, run the ball, that everybody in the passing game is eventually going to eat as well. So I can't wait for this thing to kick in tonight.
Well, let's talk about his impact on the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams. Let's do that and talk about the Bears next here on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are the Bears not going to win? Or you want to go?
Yeah, I got it.
Because Caleb Williams paints his fingernails.
He paints his fingernails!
Oh, yeah!
Pure trash talking, Kyle. Pure trash talking.
That was good. That was good. That was a good one. Hey, look, he's artistically expressive. He's an unbelievable talent. And you're going to hate hearing his name for the next 12 years here at Lambeau. He's undefeated at Lambeau Field, by the way.
All right, guys, hang on just a second. We have a special
short sample size.
It's Kyle Long on CBS Sports HQ, so shout out to him for that. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Game Day presented by your local Ford dealers.
Caleb Williams, 1-0 in Green Bay. That bombshell of an article that came out on Friday from Tyler Dunn just before you and I came on. I'm glad that you and I got a chance to really dig into it and kind of have a long conversation trying to figure out journalistically what was valid, what was not valid, helping readers and listeners kind of decode it, because it was a messy article in that way. And I feel like as we come in here Monday, the coverage of that is sort of dissipated a little more than I expected. A lot of people kind of just writing it off as a hit piece. Are you sensing some of that in the coverage and reaction?
Yes. And I think Jack Silverstein at Reed Jack did an incredible thread on Twitter talking about it and talking about the lack of journalistic ethics involved in the piece. The only place that I disagree with Jack, and Jack's pretty much spot on, like his feelings are my feelings about how it came together. My only thing is that I would suggest that people read it instead of just completely dismissing it, because I think that oftentimes when it comes to journalism, anything that is said negatively about a team or a person is often just kind of thrown into a category of that doesn't matter. I get that. And like, you have a rabid fan base that is trying to bring everyone together for the cause of the team.
And people are trying to feel good with the season on the horizon.
And they should. I get that. I do think that it's an example of, like, if we talk about the concept of the hit piece, I do think it's an example of that. I also think that it's important to have that as an example as a consumer so that you can understand the difference between critique and hit piece.
Yeah, I think it's asking a lot for people to bring the right lens to it, but I would still want to try and tell people, like you say, to read it and use that lens. Or if you need to trust certain people, trust certain people, and maybe some people trust us. Like, there's some stuff in there about Caleb. Let's say if 40% of the stuff that is ascribed to Caleb by those former coaches is true, there's some worrisome stuff in there.
Agreed.
And so there's worrisome stuff about Caleb and the way that he approached some things last year, and maybe even the style of learning, and the Bears should have known more and done better. It lets you know what we've talked about, Ben Johnson needing to break him down and build him back up. That's what's going on. That's what's been going on. And I have a lot of faith in Ben to try and do it. And I have faith in Caleb to try and make the effort. But it is a very tough thing that's being asked of the two of them. And some of the stuff that's in there gives you a window as to how difficult it really is.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. But I also think that you have to look at it with a jaundiced eye. And I think that too many of Tyler's pieces over the last few years have come off as being an opportunity for people who have a grudge. And I'm not just talking about the Bears piece, the Bills piece too, that he did at the beginning. I think it was last year. I think there's some, like, he is a vessel for sour grapes. And I think that does something for his journalistic integrity. That I feel bad because I have interacted with, I think I still follow him on Twitter.
A vessel for sour grapes is well said. People find him when they need to unload, and he will give them the outlet to do that.
Yep. And there was some stuff that was just flat out irresponsible.
Absolutely there was.
And that to me is one of the bad things. Like, if we're talking about journalism, capital J, it's one of the bad things about what it is that we do, because examples like this make it harder in an environment where people are already kind of pitted against us. Now, it might be that there's a lot of stuff that is true inside of the piece. And that's why I think it's important that the consumer still read it. But you do need to look at some of the context of it. And like, seeing Jack rebuke it in the way that he did, know that Jack has spent his life as an editor. And in some of the spaces where he is an editor, the fact that he came out and was like, hey, this needed a whole lot of editing and questions asked about what is it that you're saying? Where did you get your information from? Did you actually try and find out the truth about what it is that you're putting in the piece? And I think on a lot of those levels, it comes up empty.
I think that's true. I think that's true. I just don't think that all of the information that is in there is thoroughly dismissible. And I think that that is a dangerous place that we get when we believe the goodness about something and or the badness about something.
It shouldn't be dismissed on principle of I'm a Bears fan. It might be able to be dismissed as a piece of journalism because the rules weren't followed.
Well, certainly some of the writers' thoughts as they're mixed in, and some of the verbiage, and some of the stuff that we didn't like.
But some of the information like that, now it becomes incumbent upon anyone who covers the Bears every day to try and find out, is there truth
right
in that? So in that way, I guess that there's value to it.
Well, see, to me, I think there's value because some people pushed back on the notion of Caleb not being taught how to watch film, right? Including our next guest, Kurt Warner,
yeah,
who was thoughtful in saying, hey, man, that's your responsibility. You're an NFL quarterback. You got to figure out what it is you need to watch. And some of the assistants being angry and feeling the disrespect of the way that was painted and saying, we told him what to watch. You think we want to be bad? Like, some of that stuff made me think that Caleb does have some responsibility on the film watching front, the way that Kurt Warner and others had brought up.
Perhaps. But then you have to, again, like, go back to the context of, remember, this is not an offensive coordinator above reproach. This is a guy who walked in with a bad reputation, and Bears fans know that too from what they got from Jackson Smith and Jigba. So it's one of those things of like, yeah, maybe that's the case, or maybe Shane Waldron actually is bad at his job. And just the fact that he has gotten multiple jobs doesn't mean that he's good at it.
I hear you. I think, it is all ultimately water under the bridge, but it does inform what the process has been that we've been watching and what the process is for Ben and Caleb moving forward. I think that we can read, and maybe some of the listeners were able to read with enough of a disciplined eye to realize what was crap in there and what was something that's worth considering.
I give the audience credit. Like, I wanted the consumer to me is pretty smart, and I know that there are a lot of loud voices kind of shouting all of it down. I want to give you the credit of you read it and you figure out and hear and listen to other people that you do trust in this situation.
One other Bears-related item of news, just to think about the timeline, and a texter asks, practice squad elevations will be announced shortly, and we'll bring them to you. If we see cornerbacks, then we know that maybe there's injury issues with the corners. If we see running back Britton Brown, then we know that maybe there's an issue with one of the three running backs. So, like, we'll see those well in advance of when we see the inactives.
Kurt Warner is next here on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.